In Mark chapter number 12, so if you want to find your place over there, Mark chapter number 12, we'll read a few verses. Mark chapter number 12, and this is lesson number 62, we've been in the book of Mark. We're going to get a pretty good section here tonight, verses 28 down through verse number 34. We'll read those verses just to get started. And it says in Mark 12 and 28, it says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question." And so we've been in Mark chapter number 12 now for several weeks, and it's been one right after another, coming and asking questions of the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to trip him up. And then we come tonight, the last part of verse number 34, last thing it says, "And no man after that durst ask him any question." So we're coming to the end of the asking all of the questions. If you have a Scofield Bible, the title to this, or the heading to this passage of Scripture, is The Great Commandments. The Great Commandments. And that's a good title to go with as far as describing what's going on or what's being talked about. Verse number 31, where it said, "And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," where he says, "There is none other commandment greater than these." And so that's what this is talking about, the greatest commandments. There's no other commandment greater than these. Now, I have, several years ago, I preached from this passage of Scripture, I think I gave it the same title, The Greatest Commandments, or The Great Commandments. But that was in 2008, so that's been almost 8 years ago. And I didn't pray that God would give me a new message, but as I studied over it again, I looked at it, and I asked that God would give me new light or more light. There's always light. There's always more understanding that we can gain from something. And so I looked at it from that viewpoint, that I would try to learn something, see something that I didn't before. And the Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse number 18, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's a good prayer. Maybe even this scribe, when he came to the Lord Jesus, maybe he had a desire that his eyes would be open. I mean, that's what he dealt with, was the law all the time. Surely there were some people, and I believe there was, some scribes and some Pharisees and some of these people that really had a desire to know and to understand the truth and know if this really was the Messiah. And it seems like this scribe, he was different from the other people that came. The others that came, they were, and we've read this already, they were trying to, verse number 13, the last phrase there, to catch him in his words, to tempt him, to trip him up. They were trying to make him look bad. They were trying to make themselves look good. But this scribe, he's different in the way that he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in verse 28, "And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well." And so when he came, or when he heard the other conversations, he was probably no doubt at all on the side of the Pharisees, and maybe even would have liked to seen the Lord Jesus tripped up. But when he heard that the Lord Jesus answered him well, he asked a question. And so he comes differently. It said, perceiving that he had answered them well, ask him, which is the first commandment of all? So he's different than the way the others come. H.A. Ironside, I was reading his commentary about this, and he called the other men crafty hecklers. Thought that's pretty good. Crafty hecklers. He's trying to trip up the Lord Jesus, but this man, he's different. Perceiving that he had answered them well. Now, I read Psalms 119, verse number 18, and the psalmist said, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And that wondrous things, it means this. It means to separate or to distinguish. And this scribe, the Bible says in Matthew 22 and verse number 35 that he was a lawyer. So he was of the sect of the Pharisees. His job, we could say, he was a scribe. He was a lawyer, which means that his whole occupation was taken up in reading the Old Testament law and interpreting it for the people. And people would come all the time and they had questions about the law, and they would go to these lawyers, these scribes. These are not courtroom lawyers like we think about a lawyer, but they dealt in the law. That's all that they dealt with. And his job was to interpret the law to the people. And the Jews had made the law a very complicated thing. I mean, they had added to the law of God, and they had all kinds of writings about how far you could walk on the Sabbath day and just everything. Preparing of meals, they had laws on top of laws on top of laws. Have you ever tried to read something that a lawyer wrote? Most of the time, it doesn't make any sense. That's how it was in the days of the Lord Jesus. That's exactly what they had done with the law of God. They had added and ciphered and analyzed. Just by way of example, they said that there were 613 statutes that comprised the oral law. There were 365 prohibitions. There were 248 commandments, and the 248 commandments were equal to the number of generations of men upon the earth. And I don't know where they got that from, but that's what they said. They divided these into weighty and light categories, and then they cross-classified that into ritual laws and ethical laws. And so they had volumes upon volumes and ideas upon ideas about what does the law say. So this scribe, when he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he asks the question here in verse number 28, which is the first commandment of all, what he was asking the Lord, which of all the laws is the most important? Which of all the laws in the Bible is the first or the greatest commandment? Because he said which is first. Jesus said in verse 31, there's none other commandment greater than these. So the Lord understood that what the scribe wanted to know, he wanted to know which was the greatest, which was the first one. And so that's the answer that we have from the Lord Jesus. Now, what if somebody came and asked you, well, what's the greatest law in the Bible? If we didn't have what we have before us tonight, we would probably automatically think about, well, it'd have to be one of the Ten Commandments. Probably the first of the Ten Commandments. I shall have no other gods before me. Maybe that's the answer I would give. That's what I thought. If somebody came and asked me which is the first commandment or the great commandment, knowing that there's hundreds of laws in the Bible, but when the Lord Jesus Christ answered this man, he said nothing about the Ten Commandments. They're not even mentioned. Our way of thinking, or my way of thinking, I'd think, well, let's look at the Ten Commandments. But he never mentions the Ten Commandments. But we could use these few verses here as a commentary on the Ten Commandments, because if you know anything about the Ten Commandments, the first four have to do with man's relationship to God. That's what the first commandment here has to do with, our relationship to God. The other commandments, 5 through 10, have to do with man's relationship to other men. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. See, all that has to do with our relationship to other men. And here the Lord Jesus just summed it up and he said, love your neighbor as yourself. That'd take care of it, wouldn't it? And if we'd love God with all of our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength and what it talks about, that'd take care of the first four commandments. We'd have no other gods before us. We wouldn't take God's name in vain. We'd remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy and all of these things. So it's a commentary on the Ten Commandments, but it never mentions the Ten Commandments. Now, number one, we'll look tonight, we'll see the simplicity of the commandment in verses 29 and 30. The Bible said, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, this is taken from Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verses 4 and 5. And verse number 7 is followed by, in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, where it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now, if they'd have been teaching these things diligently unto their children like they should have been, they should have already known what was the greatest of the commandments. Because all through that chapter, Deuteronomy chapter number 6, is how important this is to teach to your children. And among the Jewish people, it was sort of their main teaching. It was called the Shema. Verse number 29. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, there's actually two parts here. There's the first part and the second part. We might say part A is in verse number 29. The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That has to do with the nature of God. Now, God is not just who you imagine Him in your mind to be. But a lot of people, that's their concept of God. Their concept of God, when you mention God, they may think, well, that's Mother Nature. They may think, well, that's good vibes. You know, a lot of times people that don't believe in praying to God, they'll say, send good thoughts our way. Like that's going to do anything. It's not talking about Allah. It's not talking about some kind of nature worship. It's not talking about some kind of divine force. God in the Bible is a very specific individual. Not just what we think He is. But He has revealed Himself unto us, and He wants to be known that way. The God of the Bible was different than all the other gods with the little g that the nations worshiped. And Israel's main responsibility was to be a missionary for the true God. When it talks about in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It's Jehovah, our Elohim. Jehovah is the self-existent God. He's the eternal God. He's always been. There's never been a time that God did not exist. Jehovah God is a creator God. He made all of this world and all of the universe and the stars and everything. It wasn't made by Zeus. The world does not set upon a big turtle's shell. People had all kinds of ideas about God and the earth, but the God of the Bible is very specific. He's a creator. He's eternal. He's always been. He has a name, Jehovah, Elohim. Moses said, who shall I say that sent me? God said, I am that I am. That's my name, I am. And when Jesus came upon this earth, He was not afraid to take that designation unto Himself many times. I am the door, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the living water. And on and on and on. And so the first part of this commandment reminds us something about the nature of God, exactly who He is. He is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The second part of this has to do with the nurture of God. In verse number 30, it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Now, there's four alls in verse number 30. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 only has three. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we're to love God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. But here the mind is added. All of your mind is added to it. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ wants to add to His Word, He is authorized to do that. You say, why is it different? It's a commentary on the other. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. What does it mean? What does it mean in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 when it says those things? Well, this expounds upon it, I guess would be a good way to put it. And here, instead of strength, it says might. But he said, first of all, and we'll just look at these quickly. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Now, that's not the muscle that pushes blood through your body. That's not what that's talking about. But when it talks about loving God with all of your heart, it's referring to the seat of our affections. Like we might talk about somebody being in love with somebody. We might talk about somebody falling head over heels in love. We might talk about somebody, their heart has been smitten. They're in love, and that's all, you know, it's all they can think about it. Some of you been there. I remember when I went to basic training and I hadn't been there but just a few days. I got my first letter. Guess who sent it to me? Sitting right over there, Miss Kim. She sent me a letter every day. I wrote her back every opportunity. We've got a box at home. It's got all of our letters in it. That's before email and cell phones and all that kind of stuff. And we wrote What we used to call those things, I don't even know. Some of you young people may have never heard of them. We called them love letters. Now, if I sit down and write a letter, I've got to have a good reason. But I wrote her every day. She wrote me every day. She may not say I didn't write every day, but if I didn't, I had a good reason. I wrote her every chance I got. And then when I got to England, I wrote her letters, sent her cards. It's all I could think about. Couldn't wait till the time that we would be reunited together. I missed her. Loved to talk on the phone. I'm not a big talker on the phone, but when I was away from her, I wanted to call her every chance I got and talk on the phone. Let me tell you something mushy. I remember being out in Texas in San Antonio, and I called her one night. And oh, we missed each other so bad. I mean, the only way you know is to have been away from the one you love. And I remember saying, can you see the moon? She said, yes, I can see the moon. I said, we're looking at the same moon. Can you imagine me talking like that? That's love. Hey, you got to be just, you're just overwhelmed. I mean, you're just not yourself. And so we shared the moon together and talked on the phone just a little bit. But love will do that to you. That's all you can think about. The Bible says here, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. How much do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord with all your heart? The Bible says we should love the Lord with all of our heart. That Greek word, heart, it means all your thoughts, all your feelings, all your emotion, your heart. And then it goes on and it says, and with all thy soul. That word soul literally means your breath, your soul, your spirit, That is the part of you that is eternal, that will never die. Each person has an eternal soul. And your soul is, it is as deep as you can go with you. You can't get any deeper. You can't get any, it's all that you are. It's hard to explain. But your soul will never die. It is as you as you will be. But when you're talking about your soul is not an outward thing. It's an inward thing. Now, you can act like you love the Lord, and you can dress like dress like a Christian, talk like a Christian, go to church, go through all the motions, say the right things. You can do all of those things and not love the Lord. That's just outward. But if you love the Lord with all of your soul, you're loving Him with your very innermost being. It is not an outward thing, it's an inward thing. All your soul, all your heart, all your affections, all your emotions, all that you are, your innermost being. It says also that we should love Him with all thy mind, your deep thoughts. What do you think about? What do you think about today? What are you thinking about when you come to church, when you go throughout your day, when you get up in the morning? I did a little test on Abigail the other day. I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how focused are you? She said, banana. I'm just kidding. But that's about how we are. That's about how short our attention span is. That we can't focus our mind on anything. And I think it's worse now than it's ever been. See, we don't have to use our minds. And I was reading a book by Ben Carson, a book I found in my library. I didn't even know I had. You know, he's running for president. And he's a neurosurgeon, and he knows all this about the brain. And he was talking about the brain and how powerful it is and our minds. And he said that if you came up in front of a large audience, that the brain is so powerful that in 50 years, if he could get that person back and I don't know how he would do it, but he said the mind is so powerful that you would be able to recall all the people that were in there and what they were wearing. And we can't even remember our phone number now. See, we weren't using much to begin with, but see, we don't have to use our mind. Well, if you don't use it, you lose it. I used to know phone numbers. Don't have to now. But the Bible says with all of our mind, we should love the Lord. How much do we use our mind for anything good? I saw a comic strip the other day, Frank and Ernest. They're just two guys. They're always sitting around in the diner and stuff. And Frank and Ernest were sitting there on the couch watching TV, and there's two robots behind them, and the robots were talking with each other. And one of the robots said to the other one, he said, "It is ironic how they scare themselves with movies about machines and devices taking over by watching one that already has." Why be afraid that the, machines are going to get smarter than us and we... Well, most people sit around and watch one all the time anyway. It's already took over. Watch people walking down the street. I read an article the other day that said among children they're getting something, they're developing what they call text neck. They're getting problems because they're hunched over all the time. Never had any problems like this before. Where are our minds? When I was a young preacher, just starting out, I had a conviction that I would not spend more time watching TV than I had studying my Bible that week. And I always got up at the same time every morning and studied. That was a good habit. I'm thankful I established that years ago. If I waited till nighttime to get any studying done, I wouldn't get anything done. But if we kept a journal, or if we had a pie chart or a graph or something, and we put God on there and TV and Facebook and searching the web or shopping online and being on the phone and spending time with friends and reading or games or whatever it is you do, and you put that on a graph or a pie chart, wonder how much time God would get. The Bible says we should love the Lord with all of our mind. How much would be contributed to be put in the God category? This time was for the Lord. This, my mind, I appreciate the Jackson and the young people learning Scripture. Boy, that's the time to learn it. That'll maybe stick with you a little while. It takes me forever to learn just a little bit now. Where is our mind and what are we using it for? And then he said, with all thy strength, that strength and might, it's the same thing. That is the whole energy of our being. With all of our strength, we should love the Lord. We might say about a team or an athlete, we might say about them, they gave it everything that they had. All the physical, all the mental, all the, I mean, we might say sometimes they gave 110%. No such thing, I don't think, but they gave all they had. The Bible says that we should love the Lord our God with all of our strength, holding nothing back, that we should love Him. Boy, that's convicting, isn't it? I mean, if you watch one football game, that's 4 hours. 4 hours. About. And I'm not saying don't watch a football game, but just comparing our lives to our relationship with the Lord. So the first part has to do with the Lord. The second part, it has to do, the first part has to do with our, with God's nature and then the nurture of God. The second part, though, comes down, has to do with our neighbor. Now look at verse number 31. The Bible said, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. Now, this has to do with our neighbor. And he said, the second is like. Now, when he says the second is like, the Lord Jesus, he's not separating these commandments. He's putting these commandments together. They go together. We can't say, well, I like the first part, I don't like the second part. Some people love their neighbor, but they don't love the Lord. And some people might say they love the Lord, but they don't love their neighbor. But the second is like. These two, these commandments, they go together. They are coupled together. They are married together, just like the Ten Commandments. Part of it has to do with our relationship with God, and part of it has to do with our relationship with our fellow man. And so we cannot separate these two. And he said in verse number 31, he said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, somebody real spiritual, they might say, oh, I don't love myself, I love other people. You love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, you're lying. Everybody, I've not met anybody that does not love their self, or at least once upon a time did. I thought about this. There's a whole sermon in that. As thyself. You love yourself. Let me give you some things. You pamper yourself. Did you feed yourself before you came? Or you're looking forward to as soon as you get home? Well, self wants something to eat. Something sweet. Bedtime snack. You deserve it. I'm going to have one too. You pamper yourself. I'm looking around at the congregation tonight. Everybody clothed themselves. We groom ourselves. Brother Mike said Sunday morning that he'd read somewhere that men looked in the mirror more than women do. I don't know. Why do we even have mirrors? We want to make sure we look all right. You pamper yourself, you protect yourself from danger, you wear seat belts, you look both ways before you cross the road. If there's an enemy out there, you would certainly do all you could to protect yourself. You protect yourself from the elements, you wore a jacket, you carry an umbrella, you roll your windows up in your car. You know, you protect yourself. Why? Love thy neighbor as thyself. You ought to protect your neighbor. You ought to pamper your neighbor. You promote yourself. Hey, look at me. Didn't I do a good job? You pardon yourself. You do something you shouldn't have done. You know, you'll give somebody else down the road, but about yourself, you say, well, I was in a bad mood. It just wasn't my day. I got up on the wrong side of the bed. Well, they pushed my buttons. Where's buttons at anyway? Somebody said that recently. Well, we lose something. We say, well, we can't win them all. Nobody's perfect. Why are we like that? Because you love yourself. Just be honest about it. It's not bad to just admit. The Lord Jesus said, though, he said in verse number 31, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So what I would do, how I would treat my neighbor or myself, I ought to be that way towards my neighbor. A biblical commentary on the Bible, another place, Matthew 7 and 12. We learned this in Sunday school growing up. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You want a summary of all them 613 laws and all them traditions and all them weighty and all that? My goodness. Here the Lord Jesus summed it up. Do unto others. That's the golden rule. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Didn't you learn that? I remember being in Sunday school and there's a little sign on the wall said the golden rule. That's from the Bible. The golden rule, treat others as you would like to be treated, the way that you would like to be treated yourself. That's all that's saying. Now, verse number 31 is taken from Leviticus chapter number 19. I want you to turn over there in your Bible. I want to show you something. Keep your place here. But look in Leviticus chapter number 19. This love thy neighbor as thyself. A lot of times we just say, well, it's in the Old Testament. But it would help us maybe to look at the context of it. Luke chapter number 19. It's from Luke chapter 19 and verse number 34. Give you just a moment. I said Luke. It's Leviticus. It's Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 34. It says over there, God said to the children of Israel, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So the context of love your neighbor as yourself, God told the children of Israel, he said, those strangers that dwell among you, you love them. He said, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Remember how it was when you were a stranger in the land? What was he saying to them? Treat them like you would have liked to have been treated. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. The greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. I never even realized that before. I'm reading through the book of Deuteronomy and I noticed it the other day. Deuteronomy 10:19, it says it again. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Have you ever went somewhere? Boy, being a missionary, you know this. It is hard to go into other churches. People look at you sometimes, what are they here for? Is that how you'd like to be treated? Some people don't look at missionaries. I hope we look at missionaries as a blessing. Some people look at missionaries like, well, they've come to get something. Better not sit in my seat. All that would act that way should have to go somewhere and be a stranger and be treated that way. They'd find out. That's even if you're on vacation and you visit somewhere and you walk in and people turn around and look at you like, what are they doing there? Doesn't that make you feel welcome? God said those strangers, love them. Love them like they're your neighbor. Treat them like you want to be treated. If that was you, how would you like to be treated? I know how people are. Oh, I just love the Lord so much. You don't love the Lord if you treat other people like dirt. If it's at work, I've seen this before. Some people go to church and they talk about the Lord and all this stuff, and they go to work and they just mean. Bless people out for nothing. Got a bad reputation of being grumpy and grouchy and all that stuff and treating people bad. You don't love the Lord. If you go to work, I'll tell you where people treat people bad. It's in their own home. Their own wives, their own husbands, their own children, children to parents. You say, well, my mama gets on my nerves. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. It's the first commandment with promise, that you may live long upon the earth. It comes back to this, loving God, loving your neighbor, treating your, however you treat your parents, your youngins one day, you'll reap it. We say, oh, I really love the Lord. Not if you treat people bad. Not if you treat people bad. If you treat people bad at church, I've never understood for the life of me how that in church of all places that people can treat one another bad so many times. That ought not to be. If we claim to love the Lord, we ought to be good. And that's not just my opinion either. It's what the Bible says. Look over in 1 John. 1 John chapter number 2. And that's right before the book of Revelation. Well, actually, Jude is right before, but it's the short little books before Revelation. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible said, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Chapter 3 and verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Boy, that's pretty stout, isn't it? I remember growing up in church, and it just seemed like every once in a while there'd be a fuss. And I was little, and I'm thankful. I don't remember a lot of times what they were fussing about, but it just seemed like there's just something. And people say, oh, I don't know why young people are leaving church and not coming back. I'll tell you why a lot of them leaving don't come back. They saw God's people acting like the devil's people. Under the banner of, oh, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord. But I'm killing my brother with words or hatred. Why would they continue to come? Well, they can go out in the world and join some club and be treated better than they can sometimes at God's house. I remember we left one time. We came back one time. I don't remember what it's all about, and I'm glad I don't. But there's always stuff like that going on in churches, and it ought not to be so. If we claim to love the Lord and we claim to follow His Word, if we would just follow this, you know, this is, look how simple this is. That scribe said, which is the greatest commandment? God didn't say climb to the top of a mountain. He didn't say dress a certain way, say this, bring an offering. He just said, love God, love your neighbor. That'd take care of all of it. That'd take care of all the Ten Commandments and And we wouldn't take God's name in vain. We'd remember the Sabbath day. We'd honor our father and mother, and we wouldn't bear false witness and covet and steal and all that other stuff if we just loved God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and if we just loved our neighbor as ourselves. Treated others how that we would like to be treated ourselves. It's a very simple thing. There's the simplicity of the commandment. Then there's the, that was point number one, but I'm going to move quick. There's the spiritual lesson of the commandment. It said, verse 32 and 33, that this last thing on how simple this is. This scribe, he got it right off the bat. Didn't even have to be explained to him. Verse 32, and the scribe said unto him, "Well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." He understood. First time, he's a good learner. He said, that's more than all the rest. But the Jewish religion centered around all the rest, all the whole burnt offerings, all the sacrifices, all the holy days and high days, and I mean, that's what it all revolved around. But the spiritual lesson of the command is found in verse number 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, that means he answered with discretion, wisdom. He had put some thought into it. He wasn't trying to be tricky like the others. He said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." The whole lesson of that can be summed up in verse number 34. That scribe understood that salvation is a heart matter. To love God with all your heart, to love your neighbor as yourself, that's more than all of the whole burnt offerings, more than all of the sacrifices. When a person realizes that, when a person realizes that it's an inward thing, it's a heart thing, it's not outward, they're not far. They're not far. If somebody's out here trying to get to heaven by through their baptism, through good works, through doing this and doing that, they're pretty far. They've not understood yet. It's not all about that. It's a heart thing. He understood it was a heart thing. And that's why the Lord Jesus said unto him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." It's not an outward thing. It's an inward thing. Salvation is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something we obtain by keeping the law, but it's a gift of God. It's the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8-9 said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we see the whole lesson. He's the master soul winner. The Lord Jesus, he didn't read the same books that I read. You know, we say, well, let's go to Romans chapter 3. But the Lord, he knows what's on a man's heart. He knows how to speak. He knows what they're thinking. And he just says, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." To get this man to think and to get him to realize that it's a heart matter. Are you saved? Is your heart right? Are we keeping his commandments? Well, we don't keep his commandments, preacher. We're under grace, and we are. But you know, the Lord does talk about keeping commandments. John 13:34. "A new commandment I give unto you." Now this is a new one. There's all those old ones. We talk about the Old Testament. Well, we're not under the law. Well, thank the Lord. We'd have to bring a lamb. We'd have to keep the feast and all of that. But Jesus said, "I'm going to give you a new commandment. That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Say, well, I love the Lord. I'm following. Not if we don't love one another, we're not. And that's a pretty simple thing. That's sort of along the lines of love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." He's really not asking He's not asked the law of us. You realize that tonight? That God has not asked the law of us. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to show us that we're not saved by keeping the law. He's not asked us to keep the law. But He's just asked a little bit of us, that you love one another. Show, this is how the world knows you're my disciples, because you have love one to another. You go out in the world and be treated like dirt. But we ought not to come to the house of God and never have to worry about that or enter our minds. So, we're keeping His commandments, loving the Lord. This has been a hard week on me in a good way. Everything I've studied has convicted me terribly. That's good. I studied about humility the other day. Well, there's a lot in that. Studied about loving the Lord this week. How much do I really love the Lord? Do I love Him as much as I used to? Do I love my neighbor as myself? It's good to be convicted. It's good to think about, what's the Bible say? Let's close right there tonight. I appreciate your good attention. Next week we're going to let the play practice go on. Give them one more time before the play on the following Sunday. So I wanted to take some time and deal with this tonight. But boy, that's a good passage of Scripture.